We're having a really good lesson today, I think. But of course, you know, I get so excited every week.
Good lesson every week.
So let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much that you have brought us rain. We have been praying for rain. We are going to continue to pray for rain. We need rain still in the watersheds, Father. But we just thank you so much for the rain that has fallen so far. We thank you that your rivers are in this area are being replenished, and we ask you to be with all of the people that are east of us today, because there may be flooding all in that area. Possibility of 7 inches of rain back in there. So, Father, but when it floods, you wash out your rivers and you replenish our ground. And that you just have a cycle that's just the way things work. And we thank you, Father, for the Bible. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that has gifted men to give us God's words, and that we can know you and we can know how blessed we are. Thank you for creating this world. Thank you for continuing to bless us. And we just ask you to watch over us and lead us today as we go into your word. So we are starting with 8:13. And it said, by the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth, and Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. And by the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife, your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and all the animals and all the creatures that move upon the ground, and all of the birds and everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark in one kind after another. And then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all of the clean animals and the clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it, and the Lord in his hearts, and the Lord smelled the sweet aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man. And even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. And as long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. There are several things here I thought was real interesting. Of course, he comes out and he builds, immediately he goes to worship. Don't you know he was glad to stand on the earth and to see that it was still there? They've been through so much. You know, they over 100 years have built this boat, and they've been tied up in it all this time. And I don't think they could see out. They may have been able to. After a while, when they said they opened the window and let the dove loose, I thought, oh, praise God, they may have been able to see out after all. It kind of worries me there for a minute. But there weren't windows where you'd be looking out all the time.
I think it was at the top. Before.
I don't know. But I just know that there was one. I think that top floor was there where their residence and everything was anyway. And we can ask Carol. Is that where they were residents on the top floor?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Because it was three levels.
Yeah.
They didn't necessarily reside up there, but they did. Somehow they had some light because they grew some.
Yeah.
They were growing things.
Yeah, they were growing plants and stuff up high.
They had to get some.
Yeah, they had to get to that. I know that they had two decks, according to the Bible. So they had stuff outgrowing on the decks, which I thought, well, that was great. There's you're keeping those seeds going one more time. And so that was always exciting. You know, when you read this, all of a sudden something hits you. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we are created in God's image. And it says here that the Lord smelled the pleasant odor.
Yes.
And then it also said that he said in his heart, I will not. And so I know that God was not sitting around looking for some smoke coming up over here, you know. But that tells you how much we enjoy a good smell. Mm-hmm. And he liked this.
Yes.
And I just thought, well, what really is he saying here? You know, all of it is may not literal, but all of it is giving you some information how pleasing it was. I don't think anything smells better than coffee perking. Or bacon cooking.
Amen.
or fried potatoes if you're out on a picnic or down camping out somewhere.
Or cinnamon rolls in the oven.
Oh, bread in the oven.
Yes.
So this is one of your traits, I think, that makes you like God. He likes to smell good stuff, too. And I just thought, well, you know, just one more little hint how much we are created in His image. And then also, He said in His heart, and that's where we are. That's where our soul is. That's where He wants us to stay in our heart. And so from His very heart, and then every once in a while it says that we are on one of our horrible days that grieves God. So He grieves and He loves and He feels it in His heart. And so all of these things, I think just enlarges my thinking that how much He has built us in His image. And then He said, regardless how bad you get, I'll not destroy everything, and you're going to get bad because you get in trouble from the time you're babies. So, but I think that was real interesting. Did y'all see anything in there that triggered a thought? Yeah.
Well, I got to thinking, you know, the fish never died.
No.
But then I got to thinking, okay, well, the fish were in the seas, mm-hmm. and with all the fresh water, I was thinking, well, God must have kept them alive, because if salty fish get too much fresh water, then they don't live.
You have been thinking.
Right.
I have.
Yeah.
Amen.
But he could keep seaweed separated. We had some salty water and some fresh water. We set them and mixed them together. It'd be a mess. But anyway, but I think also that tells us this really happened. You know, a lot of people say, well, that was just a story. Well, no, it was not just a story. And then he says here this is a covenant that he's going to make. And who is the covenant with?
The ground.
Yeah, the ground.
The ground.
What else?
And people.
And who else?
The heavens.
Read it. Anything that breathes or anything that was in an ark, yes. If that was a grasshopper, mm-hmm. He made a covenant with everything that had been in the ark. Mm-hmm. All the people, all the animals, all the birds, all the creeping things. And you can get real creepy when you think about the creeping things.
He says here, all inhabitants.
Uh-huh. So, he was destroying everything except who he saved. And with everybody he saved, he also made this covenant that I'll never do this to your descendants again. And I think, you know, animals do such a better job of obeying God than we do. And I'm sure, have you ever thought about how much fun those animals had when they came out of that ark? I can just see them running in every direction, kicking up their heels. Praise God, praise God. And here comes the people out. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, they were ready to praise God. If I'd been locked up feeding that bunch for a year, I'd been out there with them. But anyway, that's your first lesson for the morning. Anyway, God blessed Noah and his son, saying, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And notice there's a change here. Up until this point, you know, all of these animals originally were created to entertain Adam. And he and God sat down and Adam named all of the animals as God created them. And so there was a gentleness and a rapport with them. But for some reason or other, it's changing. The fear and the dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, and upon every creature that moves along the ground and all the fish in the sea that are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. They had not been able to eat anything except vegetables up until this point. That's why they lived so long. They were all vegetarians. And so everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything to eat. And no wonder the animals got scared, because up until that point they were pretty safe. But now then they may start chopping their heads off and eating them. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. For your lifeblood I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting for every animal, and from every man too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For he has been built in the image of God, and has God made him. So this is the beginning of capital punishment. You know, people get all carried away about capital punishment. But the reason, and this is murder, and the reason that we do not take the life of another individual is because they are created by God, and God lives within them. So it's a very serious thing. And so even this is kind of a foretelling of all the sacrifices. The blood's always drained out of all of the animals and put on all the altars. And then when Jesus gave even his blood, your blood's what keeps you alive. Most people that have been in an accident, lost a lot of blood, if you don't get them transfused pretty quick, you're going to lose them. Two things you can't do without: your blood and your breath. How many of y'all have candles that have lids on them and they're burning and you just put a lid on it? Have you noticed when it's burning and you put that lid on it, how long does that light stay on? Immediately it's gone. So if you think you can live without God, try living without breath. Because he breathed within us the breath of God, and we became a living creature. So every time we breathe, we're breathing in God's breath, and we're breathing out stuff. But every time I set that down, I think, remember, Gene, that's about how long you can last without Jesus. And I just think that's a good thing to do. But I get carried away once more. And so for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply the earth and increase it. So is there anything along those lines there that anybody wants to say something about or have a question about?
Well, I just thought it was amazing that even though the world was just, you know, full of water and stuff, and that didn't come back, you know, it kind of land. So vegetation's still there, mm-hmm. The tree's still there, so the animals had some place to, you know, nest and all that. I just think that's amazing that as water is receding, because we've all seen when water hits here, things are pretty much destroyed.
I think this has been a question several of you asked.
Yeah.
How did the vegetation come back? The vegetation came back because the seeds was still in the soil. And everything else had been gone otherwise, and that's the way it worked to begin with. But, you know, there was like months once the water was receding before they let anything. And the trees had gotten big enough and had leaves on them before he ever opened that up to where they could go out. So he had the food for the animals when he turned them loose.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Nice. Praise God. Yeah. But, you know, all of this, he is so careful. And, you know, every little detail, when you really get to looking at it, he's always before us providing for all of us and his creatures what we need. And for you, the fruit will increase and multiply. Okay. And so then God said to Noah unto his sons with him, I will establish my covenant. This is a covenant. Mm-hmm. He's making with worms. He's making with grasshoppers. He's making with beasts. He's making with birds. And he's making with fellow men. He said, I'll establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, and all those that came out of the ark with you. Every living creature on earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant I am making between you and me and you and every living creature with you. A covenant for generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds. And it will be a sign of a covenant between me and you. I think one of the biggest blasphemies that we have right now is people setting up the rainbow to identify themselves.
I agree.
Yep.
I agree. 100%.
That is a covenant between God and man. And for you to assume. And another thing, when you read in Revelations, and then God is on his throne, when we see him in our heavens, the rainbow circles his throne. We see half of it, but it'll be complete when we see him on his throne. And so I think that it's very presumptuous to do anything that has been tied to an oath God has given, to a reason God has given. I think it just shows how ignorant we are, people are, when we assume that we can take things and identify ourselves with something that God has placed in the sky. That's my personal opinion, and that's just my opinion. Yes.
I don't think they don't know God. They don't know the Bible.
No.
They don't know then why for the rainbow.
Why the rainbow? Yeah.
You know.
God said, no, will you get to read? He said, at one time, God winked at ignorance, but no longer.
Amen.
There is no reason, especially in the United States, for people not to know about God. Even in the second chapter of Romans, it says, if you just look at a tree, you know, he said, all creation is given to us to teach us about God. About the consistency, about the, even about the seasons, and about everything that goes on. And there's no two leaves on a tree the same. There's no two people the same. I sit in a doctor's office when I get my eyes tested, and just look at all the stuff back in there. You know, I'm not saying with what y'all see, it's all back in here. And how intricately just a man is made. And if you think that was an accident, I think you have to have a whole lot more faith on an accident than you do that God put it together.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just something that every time I see an artificial rainbow, and usually they don't have the right colors to it, it really, really, it really hurts me.
I think they want to be included, but for the wrong reasons, using that emblem that is ours as Christians, and I do take offense to that too. And also, the Bible does say that not every ear and not every eye will see and hear the word.
Right.
Their ignorance makes them blind and deaf. And
there's a bunch of them running around.
Yeah. Just don't care.
Well, it is not because God has not given it.
Right.
And, you know, I was, when we first started this church, we had a lot of people that I was studying with that never had gone to church before. And I think I've told you before that I was studying with these four women. We got here, and when I said, well, God placed the bow in the sky to tell us that he had never destroyed the world, she said, really?
Yeah.
And she was in her late 30s or early 40s. I can't imagine anybody living that long and not realizing what the rainbow's for. But I have been raised with Christian thinking. If you've been raised with Christian thinking, you go home and thank God.
Yes.
Yes.
I like the fact that God sent out Dove, and Dove has always been a symbol of peace, and I like that because whenever I look at the Dove, I feel peace, and I'm so grateful that he did that for us.
When you go back, and we'll be studying this from here on out, God constantly sets up something physical to help you remember it. Every time that God delivered them somewhere, he said, well, you get a rock and y'all start stacking it up. So when anybody comes through here, they will know what happened. He is so good to give us evidence and to give us assurance with physical things as well as his word.
Oh, I like them.
Oh, well, I'm glad you
do. Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages. Clever me. That's based on Bible, too. And so, and another thing, we're going to be starting singing the old hymns again.
Yeah.
And because we don't hear them that often.
Wait, I speak Jesus, you can't.
Well, there's one or two that we've got to keep. But we have got to even share with our children and our grandchildren the value of the hymns we were raised by.
That's right.
I get a sermon every day from Dr. Sproul, and I don't ever get around to hearing them all. I think I got about 35 or 40 in my computer. I was trying to watch TV the other night, and I thought, this is the stupidest mess I ever ran into. And I thought, you have got a computer full of sermons. So for four nights, I heard four sermons, and I quilted again. Learned so much. If you get down and see nothing but mess on your TV, you know, you can even listen to the Bible. It records it. in case you haven't heard it. And if you'll go and listen to that guy that sounds like he's from England and has the best voice you ever heard too, he's talking to you. So, anyway, we'll see what we're going from there. So, anyway, now then, here we go back to Noah and the sons of Noah. And so, he went back here and he said in 15, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all creatures and every kind, and never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. And I like it when he listed here even the seasons. Everything will be as I started it. And there is so much assurance in the seasons. You know that spring's coming in the spring. You know after you have nearly died in the heat, there is relief coming in September or October or surely by December. But God gives us these things, this constancy that we have constantly with us, and it always works. And he'll say, that's me. I'm always there taking care of you. Sharon and I was talking about, she was raising some vegetables that was going into that you could freeze. We both have some that went through all this freeze still alive. I said people had to eat in the winter. And everybody, like five generations ago, had a root cellar. And you had to have all these root things that you had to keep you alive through the winter. God has fed us around the clock, season and in and out. Just start looking how well he cares for us. And that was before you had refrigerators. Y'all don't know about things like that, but I never refrigerated for 15 years because we didn't have electricity. So just think about how well he cares for us. Then we have the sons of Noah. And the sons of Noah who came out of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. Make a note of that. It seems like this must have been his bad boy. And from them came the people who were scattered over the earth. Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded. Now then, what we're going to do, we're going to look into our map. My daughter takes good care of me. I was hunting maps here a while back, and anytime I get to hunting something, she orders it. I have a book of maps with overlays that you've got the original map we're talking about here, and overlay what they are now. You know, you just lay it on top of it. And so I didn't bring you the overlay because you don't need it. Anyway, this is a picture, and I told you to look at how the words here that we get in here, you'll understand. The table of nations, and notice Japheth just has a small amount of kids, and Ham has more than all the rest of them put together, and then the Semites have a small amount. Japheth was the oldest son. Japheth is, look at top where it says Europe. See Europe up there?
Yeah.
Okay, that's where his kids and everybody went from. So if you are from European background, Japheth is the son, the oldest son of Noah, who is your greatest granddaddy right now besides Noah. And also, when you go all the way across the top here with Gomer and Magog, that goes into Turkey. Well, all of that in that area there is all the descendants that you read about here. And there's some the sons of Japheth, and you have Gomer, Magog, and Javan, and all of that. They're listed there. And notice down in 5, from these the maritime people spread out into the territories of their clans within their nations, each with their own language. No wonder they were maritime. You look at all of Europe, they're all on the ocean. The people here had thought the Mediterranean Sea was probably the biggest thing they ever saw. And there are some people, some scholars, believe that the Mediterranean Sea was formed with a flood. There is a river in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, and we don't have evidence of the third river on the land that was in the Garden of Eden. And they think that probably is that third river. And so, you know, it probably rearranged a lot of stuff because of the way the water landed. I don't know if any of that is factual, but that's something that I have learned. But anyway, Japheth here, he says that the maritime people. And so they are the ones that are starting to build boats and starting to go out. And you know, if you left where all of this is going on and you go to Europe, you're going to have to get out on the sea. You're going to have to get into these boats. think about going around by England, going back on up to there. And isn't that interesting? And this is from way back here this time. So if you, European in your genealogy back, you're from the oldest son of Noah. Remember, there are no survivors of Cain's family. So everybody surviving is a descendant of Noah. Okay. Now then we go down here to Ham. Then there people can make all sorts of stupid statements if they don't know what they're talking about. The sons of Ham, and they said, well, his descendants take in Africa, and that's why there are so many slaves there. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that Shem, that Canaan, would be slaves of Shem. And they were. And that's it. But all of this white and this gray corner here where he works out Africa, and all the way up here over the Black Sea, and it comes all the way down here on the east of this yellow green stuff, that's all Ham's families. And I finally figured out where Sheba was. I always thought she was, you know, the Queen of Sheba. I thought she was in Africa, but she's down at the base of Arabia. And so then here is all of the people here, and their descendants is coming out of Ham, a huge amount of people. But look at the little green. When you come right back up here, do you see right in there? So the green goes across the top, and then right below it is Canaan. You see that? And then below Canaan is the Philistines. Canaan is one of the kids, and he evidently is the one that was. I just wondered if Cain wasn't the one. Canaan wasn't the one that went in and found Noah that wasn't dressed well and said, "Daddy, come here and look. Grandpa ain't got no clothes on." But there's, for some reason or other, Canaan got in trouble. But anyway, this is all on the coast, right at the Mediterranean Sea, and Canaan probably would be extended back a little bit here. And the Philistines, right down in here, you know that big word about the giants? There's a tribe there in the Philistine group that's listed with that same word. So that genetic giant came on down, and it came through Ham. That tells you he was not, they were not angels or some people that came through. God's word will plainly tell you what you need to know. Anyway, then all of this small part here are Shem's. That's where the Jewish people will come from. Very the green.
To the very right, at the bottom of the...
You see anything green?
Yes.
That's it.
All of the green?
Yep.
All of the green?
All of this?
Yeah. That's Shem's people. If you go in here and read his listings, now Shem is going to be blessed. Shem, it says here, where are we? Gosh, like Nimrod. Oh, by the way, my third great-granddaddy back was named Nimrod. He was a mighty hunter. Okay. Anyway, it says, later the Canaanites, wait, just when you go back over here in 10 and 10, later the Canaanite clan scattered, and the borders of Canaan reached from Sidon on over to Gera, as far down as Gaza, and then towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And that gives you the spread of that all the way down. Now then, the Semites. It says, sons that are also born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth. Shem was an ancestor of all the sons of Eber. You see that Eber? That is the root word of Hebrew. It will be extended to where it will be to all the Hebrews. Because he is the one that God sets out and blesses, because I think he was the one that said, Japheth, we got to go cover up daddy, because he has been disgraced by our brother.
Was he the youngest, Ham? I'm sorry, Ham? Mm-hmm. Was the youngest, right?
Evidently, he must have been the second, the way it listed here. Japheth is the oldest, and then the Hamites is
Shem.
In.
How about Shem is the oldest, didn't Japheth, and then Ham, at least when I studied.
Well, the way it's listed is Shem, and then Ham, and Japheth. Yeah. But I read somewhere yesterday that he was, I think I probably didn't know what I was talking about. Anyway, it doesn't matter which one's which. Yeah, evidently, Ham, regardless, is must have been. And it also, the land that the Jewish people here, and they're not Jews until Judah comes along, until the division of the people. They are always Hebrew or Israelites. Yep. Jews is a derogatory of Judah. Anyway, this is basically the Arabian desert now, where they're settling. This green, green, yellow, green, that is all of the ones from Shem. And so it says here the Arabian desert, it probably was not a desert at that time. We know at one time it was a forest because of the amount of oil that's among the Arabian people. That's where all that big oil fields are. And that's where it all came from. And so you have here, this goes up and it's kind of where right now where Syria is, and then Damascus up here at the top. Now notice how it splits and goes around the, it says the Shinar of Babylon there, looks like a lake or something in the yellow. And it goes on down to Elam. Elam is where Ur was, where Abraham came from. But it surprised me how a little bit of the territory basically was given to Shem, and how much of most of it is come from Japheth, and he had the most kids, so they meant the most directions. Anyway, another thing is said in here, you know, most of the things that they were dealing with, always the Hebrews were shepherds. And it states in here that Japheth and Shem shared tents together when they were younger, when they before they started spreading. And so it says the clan scattered in the borders of Canaan reached, and tells all about that. Then the sons also were born to Shem, whose older brother was Japheth, so he's still younger. And Shem was the ancestor of all the sons of Eber, or all of the Hebrews. And then you have all of these listed here. And when you go back and start reading these, you'll remember that, you know, we've heard about Sheba and Dedan and, you know, Rush and all those kind of things. And then the regions where they lived stretched from Mesha towards Sapphar and the eastern hill country. And these are the sons of Shem by their clans. And then it closes out, and these are the clans of Noah's sons according to their lines and descendants within their nation, and from these nations spread all over the world after the flood. But we got to where I wanted to go. I wanted y'all to have this map because it's good.
In my Bible, I have a list, and I could print that out. Like Shem, his descendants were, this was the Hebrews, Chaldeans, Assyrians, Persians, Syrians.
Yeah.
And then the next.
That's what they're located at.
Oh, that guy. Ham, the Canaanites, the Egyptians, Philistines, Hittites, Amorites. Just
listen. Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, and when you go, when they started into Canaan, and all those tribes are listed, those are the names of the tribes that are listed there. And so, but this is the foundation of where we will start, and then we're going to have the Tower of Babel, and then we'll have the call of Abraham. Abram. Okay. So you can go home and read and study your map.
Yes.
And study your Bible. And wonder what the world we did in class this morning.
Father God, we just thank you today for bringing us together to hear of your word. We thank you for Miss Jean, who is led by your Holy Spirit and teaches us so well, and give us a fountain of knowledge about everything that happened in the past so that we grow and not make the same mistake. Father God, give us just the strength to get through this day. Allow us, Father, to get through it and just be a light to this dark world. We all need you, Father God, and we just trust you so much with all that you do. All of these requests that are in this book and the ones that are not written, Father God, we know that they are already heard, they are already answered, and that your answers are so much better than our prayers. Amen. Father God, we thank you. We give you all praise and honor, and we just thank you so much for your son, Jesus, who came and gave his blood for us, Father God, and to just bring us back to you. Father God, we thank you. Every single person that is going home today, driving around, keep them safe from all harm. Allow them to get home. Allow their loved ones to be well too. For all of us that are sick, allow healing. For all of us that need your favor in every situation and circumstance that you already know about, Father God, we thank you in advance. And we are praising you for the miracles you have in store for us. We love you and we trust you. And it's in your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.